It's good to be with God's people today. You know, the golden age of sci-fi, creature feature, monster horror flicks was in the 1950s. How many of you actually saw them in theaters? Oh, so a few of you. There you go. You know, they were characterized by low budget, cheesy acting, bad special effects by today's standards, and the studios kept churning them out over and over. The basic premise was that weird and strange extraterrestrials with superior intelligence were running amok on planet Earth, and they arrived in shiny spaceships with lots of flashing lights, and they would sneak up on decent, hardworking, small-town Americans and reduce them to puddles of goo as they threatened humanity. Well, or the other basic premise was that a mad scientist would suddenly be turned into a mighty monster after being exposed to toxic chemicals, and that made him go on a frenzy and attack his fellow man. Well, in both cases, there was always lots of gunfire and plenty of primordial scream, but there really was this impending sense of death and doom and complete powerlessness against this seemingly unconquerable foe. You know, it was beyond the control of government and science and technology and human will. And the only hope for Earthlings was that some way would be discovered to defeat these evil forces and drive them back to where they came from, be it the swamp or the far reaches of the galaxy. Well, if you were in those movies or if you've seen them since then, I think you can catch them probably all on YouTube, you came away with the sense, shoo, disaster was narrowly averted. The following week, the next creature feature was at the movie theaters. And, you know, here are some of the classics. I Married a Monster from Outer Space. I Was a Teenage Werewolf. Indestructible Man. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. The Terror from Beyond Space. And those are just the ones starting with I. There's like 85 of them. Well, why are there so many of them? Well, it was in the scientific age and terror and what was going to happen with nuclear bombs and stuff. It may have been because people had more free time and more money. But I think the real reason they made so many of those movies is the more they made, the more people went to them. When you think about it, though, those kind of movies weren't a whole lot different than today's superhero movies, other than the fact that the acting may be a little better, and they have A-list stars instead of the Z-list ones, and there's better special effects, but it's the same basic principles. The villain shows up, trying to take over the world, but thankfully this time it's not just the U.S. Army with machine guns, but you've got Iron Man or Spidey or whoever. He can save the day. Well, I got to thinking, what if the Bible was advertised like those monster movies? After all, there's a lot of fearful events in the Bible, scary things, and there's lots of supernatural things from beyond suddenly appearing. Well, imagine the trailer for Jesus walking on water to meet the disciples. He's from another space-time continuum, indeed another dimension altogether, appearing like a ghost out of the midst on a dark and stormy night, releasing terror in all who see him. He says but little, but his words penetrate and calm the storm. Apparition at the Lake, now in theaters near you. Or how about this, with the Gerasene demoniac, piercing screams, chains ripping, a panicky population, a power from beyond. Coming soon, the Demonator. Or my favorite Bible story of all time, and hopefully yours, is they didn't expect the extraterrestrial appearances, nor the blinding light. They couldn't find the missing body, the formerly dead, now walking and fully alive. He left the warriors whimpering, the women weepy, and the religious leaders writhing and raging. What did it all mean? What would the world come to? What hope is left for humanity? In the thin line between life and death, which emerges victorious? Will this change everything? This Sunday morning only, be sure to catch Terror at the Tomb. You know, I know that's not your typical Resurrection Day promo, but, you know, truth be told, there was a lot of fear and trembling at the tomb. Unlike the monster movies, no human ingenuity or bravery, ability or dumb luck can stand against the greatest enemy we all face, and that is death. And death really is something to fear if we're left to our own devices. We're going to be looking in Matthew 28. And the first 10 verses of that chapter, fear or afraid are mentioned 4 times. When you think about it, this really wasn't out of the ordinary event. This was something supernatural entering the natural. This is something earth-shattering. A war of the worlds, you know, between life and death, fear and faith. And the world would never be the same because of it. We do celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Let's take a look. I'm going to read Matthew 28, 1 to 10. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Absolutely incredible. Fear, terror at the tomb, if you will, for some. And yet terror changed to trust, and fear changed to faith. Hopelessness changed to hope. Amazing what had happened. You know, unlike, you know, the sudden invasion of the body snatchers where the people were going about life as normal, for these ladies, life was at a really low point. The one they had expected to save them, to bring salvation, to make everything right, had been crucified 2 days earlier. And their hope was dashed. And they're still in shock and mourning. Jesus the Messiah, the one everyone cheered, "Hosanna, save us." They think he's here to save the world, and now he's dead, and they're going to go to anoint his body again. Yet, something about him is they remain loyal to him. Even at this time, they are going, and they're going to give a gift to him. But you know, suddenly things are going to change. It's not going to be a bright light from the sky. It's not going to be a weird pulsating noise. But they're going to face an earthquake. And you know, since the Friday, a couple days earlier, strange things have been happening. A couple days earlier, they had faced noontime daylight darkness. They'd hear all kinds of strange occurrences happening. And verse 3, it mentions that there was an earthquake. And it does seem to be connected with angels' arrival. And the angels, interestingly enough, he comes down from heaven, rolls aside the stone, and has a seat. Well, you know, the angel didn't move the stone so Jesus could get out. He wasn't beaten on the inside of the tomb going, "Let me out, I'm alive, I need some air." No, he was already gone. He was on the way to Galilee already. You know, he is the creator of all rock-like substances. And he's the creator of everything. He didn't need the angel's help. But if the disciples were going to want to see inside the tomb, they were going to need some help because this was a big rock. So the angel gives them a hand and rolls it away. And the women arrive, the stone is moved, and nobody's home. But you know, there are some folks who were there just before the ladies got there. And these were soldiers, and their assignment was make sure no one tries to come and steal the body. You know, how would you like to have that assignment? You know, it's one thing to deal with some disciples, but they were definitely dealing with something from beyond their realm. And this was an assignment bound to fail. This was a cruddy job duty. You know, well, they see this bright light, and they get the full force of this earthquake. They're shaken, and then they see the flash of the lightning of an angel's face. What would that be like? It'd be bright. They catch a glimpse of his snow-white clothing, and then they hear the noise of the big rock rolling. From half asleep to sensory overload, these guys are on high alert. This is the biggest adrenaline rush of their lives, I'm sure. And they find out it's futile to resist. They're so scared, they fall into this faint. And the NIV says they shook and became like dead men. You know, these big, tough, burly guys, combat veterans, not afraid of nobody, armed to the teeth, and they can't do anything. They're absolutely paralyzed by fear. You know, you got these tough-talking troopers, and suddenly they're immobilized. And this fear paralyzes them, but it's not going to lead them to a good place. They are not going to be driven to their knees. They're not going to be like the centurion 2 days earlier who said, "Wow, surely this must be the Son of God." But instead, they're going to get involved in a big cover-up. They're going to fear for their lives, because as a Roman soldier, when you were given a job, a prisoner to guard, a body to watch over, if you fail in your duty, it was your life for that person's. And they're as good as dead, and they know it. But how they respond is going to make a big difference in what ultimately happens to them. Well, later they're going to run, and they're going to tell the chief priest, hey, this is what happened. And the chief priest concocts this big scheme. We won't really go into it, but basically they're just saying, hey, the disciples came and stole the body while we were asleep. Well, how do you know who it was that stole the body, and how come all of you are asleep, and how'd they get the stone moved? And we could just go on and on. But they're going to concoct this story and then tell everyone, and the chief priests are going to say, hey, we'll keep you out of trouble with your superiors. You know, these soldiers, though, they're like a lot of people, kind of doing their daily duty, doing their job, and suddenly something happens. And they didn't know what to do, but they did have a choice. They could react out of fear like they did and grab at straws for safety and security somehow, or they could have said, whoa, we know there was a body in there. There's not now. There was an angel. This is out of the ordinary. Maybe there is something to this thing about this Jesus Messiah guy. They could have turned to God. Instead, they chose to do life on their terms, and they didn't recognize their need for God. You know, and that's something we all have to decide. How are we going to do life? Are we going to do it on our terms, what seems best in our own eyes? Or are we going to say, whoa, Lord, I think you might be getting my attention. I want to do it your way. Well, the soldiers chose to do it their way. I'm just imagining that they were pretty nervous for a while. When's the commander going to find out? When's the hammer coming down? You know, are we going to have to face judgment? And I imagine for a long, long time, they were walking on pins and needles. Please assign us to Crete, or I'd rather go to North Africa. You know, send me back to Rome. I just don't want to be around here where my name can get connected with this. You know, they may have escaped the consequences of what happened in their life at that point, but not forever. Ultimately, it wasn't about whether the body they were guarding the body or not. It was what they did with the risen Lord, which really made a difference. You know, if they didn't get right with God, it didn't matter if they were executed or on the spot or if they died of old age and in bed. If they weren't right with him, it wasn't going to end well. They weren't like these ladies. They didn't have hope. They didn't have faith. They didn't have a reason to be glad. They were just skating on thin ice, and they knew it. And they were afraid to death, I'm sure, because of what was likely going to happen to them. Well, as we look in our passage, though, it wasn't just the soldiers who were afraid. So were the women. But with a big difference. Notice what the first thing the angel says to the ladies in verse 5. Don't be afraid. I know who you seek, Jesus, who was crucified. He was crucified. But guess what? He's not here any longer because he's risen. Every time, basically, you find an encounter with an angel, people are afraid. And that's a good thing. You know, when Isaiah was encountered, whoa, woe is me, I'm not a holy guy. You know, and when the angel appeared to Mary, first thing he says, don't be afraid. When the shepherds were visited by the angels, don't be afraid because you're not about to get crushed like a bug. No, I've got good news for you. But in every case, it is wise to say, whoa, an angel from God or pre-incarnate vision of Christ just showed up. I should probably pay attention. I should give respect. And these folks are given assurance, and that's really cool. You know, in fact, these extraterrestrials, in a sense, they came in peace, and they bring good news from their leader. This was not just angels going, let's freak out these ladies. Blah. You know, no, this was, I bring you good news. Don't be afraid. It's going to be all right, ladies. You come to the right place, except he's not here anymore. Why? Because great news, he's gone, and you will get to see him. Well, what turns things around? It's not a super military weapon. No, the fact is Jesus, who was crucified, is now alive. That's good news. Well, these ladies' minds are absolutely blown. You know, it would be more than if they saw a shimmering light and got sucked up in some traction beam somewhere. You know, the one they love is alive, and he's not here. I love it. It says he's not here. He's there in Galilee. And then later on, it says he's in Galilee. He's not here. He's there. But guess what? Where he is there, you can go be with him. So then you'll be here with him. The fact is, you can be with him and go to where he said he would be. Why? Because he's alive. That is good. What's not so good is this week we had to put our cat down. And he got really sick, and it was going to cost a fortune. And we ended up burying him in the backyard. And there were a lot of tears from all of us. Well, you know, if I was to go to the house this afternoon and find him laying back on the couch, purring, at first I'd go, and then I'd go, because I know where I last saw him. And as I wrapped him up in the cloth and we buried him, it would be a weird thing, because on one hand, I'd be like, oh, Jasper, oh, yeah, little guy. On the other hand, I'd be like, oh, this is really strange. And I think that's probably what the ladies were kind of going through. Because when it says in verse 8, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. I would be excited to see my cat, but totally freaked out too. Because that's just not the way it works. You know, Jasper doesn't have life anymore. But I love the fact they took off running. You know, they said, okay, they departed quickly. They believe that wasn't because, oh, we saw an angel. We got to get out of here before something else weird happens. No, they're like, hey, we want to go be where Jesus is. But there was this mixed emotion. He was dead. He's alive. He's not. Whoa. Well, you can just imagine. Incredible. And off they go. For them, the terror at the tomb becomes good news. Because it's not the end of the day. For these soldiers, it's likely the end for them. You know, and these ladies were probably scared to their wits' end, but on the other hand, they still hang on. We are going to believe because of what we've seen, the empty tomb, and what we've been told. But things are about to get better. This is great. Look at verse 9. Behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. What a perfect response. They grab hold of him, and they worship. They probably didn't say anything for a little while, and then they're like, you're alive, you're alive, you're alive. I can't believe it. But he was. And what's he tell them in verse 10? Don't be afraid. You know, the soldiers were so afraid, they shook like dead folks. Or like they were dead. The women were initially afraid, but then the angel says, don't be afraid. And then Jesus himself, don't be afraid. We'd be afraid. But boy, what a great reassurance they were told. You know why? Because he was alive. And why don't we have to fear? We know the Father sent the Son not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's good news. We need saving. We know that Jesus died, but he didn't stay that way. In Acts 2:24, it says, God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Oh, much as death tried to hold him in, you know, pushing him down. Boom, he just kept. You couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. You could try. Get more people. Try to stand on top. No. Impossible for death to hold him down. You can just imagine death getting so mad. Oh, I was trying. I did my best. Tough luck. Not good enough. Boom, he's here. That's good news. Oh, God the Father sends God the Son on a rescue mission because he loves us and he cares for us. We deserve sin and death, but God shows that he conquers it. Paul wrote, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And he also wrote, because Jesus raised from the dead, where, O death, is your victory. Where, O death, is your sting. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. That's great news. We, as God's people, do not have to be afraid of death. Because Jesus conquered sin and hell and death and Satan. But you know, just exclusive, 100 out of 100 die. We are going to go down. But Jesus, who became like us, died for us. Who has been there and come back. But he's also gone to prepare a place for you. That is good news. The soldiers faced death and fear, and they went one way. How will you respond? What will you do? Oh, Lord, you are the victorious. You are the reigning. You are the conquering King. And we give you our praise and our thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. loves me.